Good morning. 00 hours.
Cloudy.
54 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. 56 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours.
Cloudy.
57 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours.
Cloudy.
58 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. 57 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours.
Rain.
57 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours.
Cloudy.
58 degrees.
NABBS Mobile.
Good morning. 07 hundred hours. 59 degrees.
KRUH Mobile. KRUH Mobile.
Good morning. 08 hundred hours.
Rain.
59 degrees.
KEA TFM.
Happy Monday. A rainy Monday. AFAW.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing? I think if I interpreted pictures correctly, you should be moving in right now, yeah?
Yeah, we're in the thick of things. Moved probably about 60%, maybe 70%, I don't know. And just, yeah, everything's in a little bit of a chaos. We've got unfinished furniture that, you know, I took it apart, IKEA furniture, and there's missing parts, of course. I have no idea how any of the parts got missing, because everything was together and taped all the screws and everything to the furniture, but yeah, some furniture we can't salvage, so we're probably going to end up getting thrown out.
Oh, man. Yeah, I learned with IKEA furniture, you can actually get most of the stuff on Amazon, the pieces that you need. But, yeah. No, that's the fun part, though. I know when we moved, I was quite shocked. It was like 11 years ago now, but I was shocked how everything in a 900-square-foot home could completely fill up, you know, a 2,700-square-foot home. It was ridiculous.
Yep, for the most part, everything went smooth. You know, closing was really simple and easy. They let you sign a lot of things electronically now. A couple things still need a proper signature. They call them wet signature. It was ink. And then we had the house, and then, but yeah, that I've got a U-Haul truck, did three rounds of that. That was the big initial burst, but all the appliances and stuff came the next day after closing, internet, all that stuff. So that wasn't too bad. We were having a little bit of issue with the window treatments. I guess the manufacturer sent the installer the wrong bracket, so they had to overnight some new brackets. So we have some windows that are got proper window treatment, and others have paper shades. So,
yeah, that's all the stuff you don't realize until you buy a new construction. I know when we got ours, like, I didn't plan on the fact that curtains weren't on the windows. You know, I didn't plan on the fact that towel holders weren't up. I think it took over two years to get those all put up where they needed to be. But, yeah, there's all those little things that, you know, once you got the house, you think you're done, and you're not done. There's just more stuff you got to do.
Yeah, and then I noticed that there's leaves in the gutter. I can look at one of my, from the second story, I can look at one of the one-story gutters. Like, damn it, there's leaves in the gutter. So I'm going to have to get those seamless gutter things put on them at some point. But I don't know how I'm going to clean the ones on the second floor. I'm going to have to hire somebody for that. But maybe if I get seamless gutters, I'll have them do it at the same time. You know, clean it or whatever. But yeah, it's too bad they didn't offer that as an option. I would have just gotten that, but they would have probably charged a lot more for it. But yeah, we're finding all the. I mean, I kind of anticipated a lot of the things that we would have to do. There hasn't been too many surprises, thank goodness. But the toilet paper. Toilet paper roll holders, they can not accommodate the cost of size toilet paper. So I'm going to be replacing all the toilet paper holders.
Well, that's cool. You were able to at least get in there before all the holidays and that start, man. That's really cool. Well, I don't know if I've said it before, but congratulations. It's always fun making moves like that. I know we enjoyed getting into ours when we did. So, yeah, so congratulations. Hopefully the family's enjoying it, too, and they're excited about it.
Thanks, and, yeah, everybody's, we went from that little small 900-square-foot brick house to this, and we're still kind of in shock that we have so much space. And the layout works really well for the zone. It's a good thing. We feel blessed that we're able to do this. So, but I'm not any closer to repeaters. It seems I can't use the HT very well to the repeater. So I'll have to hook up some kind of external antenna. I'm talking to you through the node right now.
Yeah. Do you have an HOA? Can you have external antennas, or do you got a hide them in the attic like I do?
Yeah, I'm going to have to hide them, especially the Comet GP3. I'll probably have to put that in the attic somehow. But I might be able to sneak something on the side. If I just make it a UHF-only antenna, you know, they look kind of like ring, you know, the, what do you call it, those ring detector thingies. Have like a little thing sticking out of them. So, oh yeah, that's my ring gauge.
Yeah, I think if they look like they belong with the, like a TV antenna, like a digital TV antenna, I think you're probably fine. And most people don't pay attention. I think if you put one of the, like a 40-meter Yagi, then someone will have something to say.
Yep, that is true. Or a wire going across your yard into the tree. I might say something about that, but I am planning on putting an antenna outside. I was going to hide it in the siding because the siding is vinyl. And they do it, there is a conduit going from inside to outside already there for the fiber line, and the fiber line is so crazy thin that I could probably fit two pieces of coax through the tube to the outside. I just have to undo the silicone that they did, and then, you know, run my wires through it, and then seal it back up. But, yeah, so I have a way to get wire outside without having to drill a hole, which is really nice.
Yeah, I'm actually, I mean, my roof peak is like, geez, it's got to be 12 feet up in the attic. And I'm surprised how long the, or how well the long wire works with the 9-to-1 on. I mean, I get most places. I think Asia's a little tough for me, but otherwise, like, the whole U.S. and Europe is, like, no problem at all. So, surprisingly, it works. I probably won't invest too much more just because the noise floor is so bad at my house, but it does what it needs to do. I do wish the noise floor was lower, but that's a city problem, so not much I can do about that.
Well, let's see, 9-to-1 is, if that's a random wire, random wires tend to be noisy. If you were to get a tuned antenna, you know, you get less bands, of course, but if you get a tuned antenna, you might notice the noise goes down. And then if you put one of those choke balloons on it, that will sometimes drop the noise by, like, 3 dB or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about just throwing a metal plate in the attic and put a ham stick there. They're fairly narrow band. Let's see how much, like, that helps in that. But when I look at the house with a spectrum analyzer, you know, the noise is basically really high right up through 40 megahertz. You know, it's right around S5, S7. So that's the only reason why I haven't experimented with anything, because it don't look like there's anything to gain.
That's a bummer, you know, and I should really just walk around with the 705 in portable mode and just see what it picks up without any antenna, see if it's picking up any noise. But, so I may run into the same thing, but I don't know. I mean, everything's newer here, unless the transformers across the street are bad or something.
Yeah, I got a benchtop spectrum analyzer, so when you get to that point, you want to borrow that, you know, for a little bit and do some different sweeps and things like that. You're more than welcome to use it. For the most part, it collects dust on my bench. I don't use it that much.
It's pretty much just a glorified signal strength meter. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like those tiny SA's spectrum analyzer, but it's for looking at signals in the frequency domain. So you can, you know, zero in on really any frequency up to 1.5 gigahertz, and it shows you the spectrum and then the power level at each of those given frequencies. So you can see what's actually going on pretty well.
Oh, but you ain't pretty good. I know back in the day I had one of those Radio Shack field strength meters. Just had a needle on it. I don't know if I really knew how to use it back then when I was a kid.
All right, well, the reception's getting pretty bad for me. I'm over at the 34 mile in Rochester, so I'm gonna lose it here pretty quick. So I'm gonna let you get going, and yeah, we'll chat with you later. And yeah, congratulations on the move. So take it easy. It's KE8TFM. I'll be clear on your final.
All right, take it easy. There should be a Romeo repeater out there somewhere. All right, talk to you later, KF8S.
Yeah, I'm actually on Romeo. Surprisingly, it's not. doing too well.
Where's Davian going in that direction?
I'm heading towards Oxford. I got to go to a customer. So when I dropped my kid off, I took the Van Dyke up to 34 mile and 34 mile up.
You guys doubled there a little bit. Eric, did you hear? He's going to Oxford. Yeah, he's been quick keying on me like third time. So, all right, Davian, have a good one. Yeah, I'm just about to work. Crappy, raining. At least it's not freezing out. Yeah, I'm looking out the window. Got some wet roads here. Doesn't look like fun to go out there. Yeah, I'm going to see what Amazon will do about those radios. They're not that great of a radio. I mean, they're good just for screwing around, but I got a lot of radios for that. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll let me keep them all, or I'll just return them all. I don't know. Don't know. I'll find out tonight. But they seem to work pretty good. They're not the greatest.
But you changed your mind on them, eh? Should be fine for a note, though.
Well, they don't... they sound really good. The volume and the speaker sounds good in them, but... it depends. Either way, I'll probably have to return at least one of the sets, but... And they raised the price. I paid $23, and then they went up to $29.99. And it shows right in the description that it comes with drop-in chargers, so... I'll have to check today and see if they took that out of the description.
Yeah, I didn't see it in the description when I ordered mine, and there was a coupon code brought down to $23 back when I ordered a set. I still have those other ones. Those other ones I'm just going to leave in the, I have them in a drawer, and I give one, you know, if we need them, I put one upstairs and one down, and leave one downstairs, and yell at the kids.
Just for giggles, you should try that old software that doesn't have the frequency grayed out in it. Or maybe you can modify something on your end. I don't know. But yeah, one of those programs does not have the frequencies grayed out.
Yeah, I'll try it. I don't think they're for the RT22S, though. That's the only issue. And the software does not work, or the protocol is different between the RT22 and the 22S. So you can't use I tried just for giggles with the chirp to see if it would read, and it won't read. So unless it's specifically for their plus version, and I'll try things, but I am not too hopeful, but... That might lead me to going to look for the plus version if you didn't include it, and try to find an old version of that.
Yeah, well, you could look at the YouTube video. I'm pretty sure the guy had, I don't know if he had the plus or the S model, but that's how he said he got around it, so who knows. Anywho, I'm just about pulling in at work here. Talk to you later.
WEAP. Alrighty, bye-bye for now. KFAS.
Good morning, 0900 hours, rain, 59 degrees.
Music video.
Good morning, 1000 hours. 59 degrees. Good morning, 1100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 60 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Cloudy. 61 degrees. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Cloudy. 63 degrees.
This is KE8YGV, mobile and monitoring.
Good afternoon, 1400 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good afternoon, 1500 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good afternoon, 1600 hours. 67 degrees.
November 8th, Pop Uniform Golf, listening mobile.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees.
W-8-E-A-P.
Good evening, 1800 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees.
Out, but it's 70 degrees, which is hard to believe. W8RCY.
I show 67, and I can't decide to keep the AC on or turn it off. And when I turn it off, it gets humid. Hey, CKGO, what's going on?
Well, here in Madison Heights, nothing is going on. The big fire they had in Southfield blew some smoke my way. Earlier, and I had to close a window, but
and I could see the smoke, and I thought, I originally thought the fire was in Royal Oak, but I misunderstood the scanner, because they sent Madison Heights and Royal Oak over there, so initially, but yeah, that was a bad fire for sure. I guess three people were getting released, and about 16 units were destroyed. So some people are going to be, unfortunately, without a place to stay, and I guess the American Cross, American Red Cross, have been doing what they can to help them.
Well, I am glad that everyone made it out okay. Buildings and material items can be replaced, but lives cannot.
I 100% agree, but that's about it, though, really. I mean, that went on between about 2 o'clock, and I shut my scanner off about an hour ago listening to it, but, yeah, they had several municipalities out there, Birmingham, Farmington, obviously Southfield, Royal Oak, Madison Heights, and I think some equipment from Birmingham came down as well, but, yeah, there was a little bit of video I saw of it on the news. Yeah, it looks like the building's a total loss. So, and like you say, excuse me, you know, everybody made it out of there safe, so that's the most important thing. But, so yeah, like I say, you say now my temperature dropped to 69 according to my phone, so, yeah, it's slowly cooling down. So I am going to check out, and wish you a good evening. W8. RCY, we are clear.
Hey, RCY, 73 from KKKJO, and I still got another 20-minute ride left.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees.
Station on the SNET. This is KE2BNY conducting your radio check on a Motorola XPR 7550E. Any station on the SNET. Any station on the SNET. This is KE2BNY conducting your radio check. Over.
Well, I am eating dinner, so I will only take 1 second here to say you're sounding perfectly fine, full quieting, good audio, W8FU.
Last station on the SNET, thank you for the feedback, enjoy your dinner. KE2BNY out.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees.
KE8BSI mobile.
What's got you out and about?
I am going to fetch the wife from the airport.
Ah, your batching is over.
Yep, roger that.
Just getting underway?
Yeah, just, actually it's got me taking 94, so, I am eastbound on 24 mile, going to North Avenue, probably down the Hall Road to 94, that kind of thing.
Roger, okay, I don't know, there's some sort of big Tim Walls and John Bon Jovi and something, big thing at Hart Plaza, supposed to be running from like 6 to something or other, 6 to 11, so hopefully you won't run into anything there.
All right, I was unaware of that, so thanks for the heads up. I am actually rolling a little bit early, so I'll be able to tolerate a little bit of that. Hopefully it'll be smooth sailing.
Yeah, I have no idea what I just know it's this afternoon. I think it was started. I know it was scheduled to start at 6. I just don't know how long it's supposed to run. But, yeah, who knows. And I think Walls comes in and out of Metro, so, you know, his entourage is, it's got to be already there by now, but, you know, he's probably gone. I don't know. I don't think. I think they fly into a, if they're here an hour, it's a lot, and they're gone. But you could be, you could run into that, his entourage at the airport.
Right, yeah, you never know. Well, if it's supposed to start at 6, it'll likely be all said and done, but you never do know, so I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some information on it. And let's see here. Oh, man! So, yeah, who knows? You'll be fine, I'm sure.
Yep, it'll work out one way or the other. 90% it'll be smooth sailing, so. Did you get your clear notes put back together?
So, Greg, did you already vote, or are you voting on Election Day?
I already voted a couple of weeks ago by mail. Well, I dropped them off, but, you know, that sort of thing. And, you missed my transmission. That was weird. I asked if you got your clear note, or should I say clear zero, put back together.
Weird. I didn't hear that. It might have been on my end, though. I don't think it was on your end. So I got, I did have to roll my knob. Yeah, I put it, I had it apart to try that pie sugar UPS, and I really like it. And so now I've got it back, and it's as shipped form with that little stick battery I just bought. Actually, it's a little bit more than a stick, but anyhow. So yeah, we're rocking it back to the way it was shipped. If I could find a good case solution, I'd run that Pi UPS, and especially if I could get the software running on the thing, because you just go to the IP address of the Pi with a with the given port number, and you get a little web GUI for the whole battery stats, and so I'd really like to go that route, but they say it's a little finicky with Arch Linux. And of course, since these are Hamboids, they're Arch Linux. So I'm not saying I'm giving up, but it's just a lot more involved, and I'm not really prepared to monkey with it yet. I did get a backup copy of my OS running, and I took the factory one that they shipped to me, and I stored that one away, and now I'm running a copy of it. So if I get in there and start monkeying with stuff and mess things up, I can always get back to ground zero.
Right, okay. Yeah, that would be slick if you could web into it for those for that information and whatnot. That would be really cool. I don't understand why one particular distribution of Linux would not do that, but where others would. But I guess I don't know enough about Linux.
Well, at this point, and Dave's made this complaint, many times, Ham VoIPs decided a long time ago they were going to go with Arch Linux. Not a bad move. Arch Linux has some features that allow it to work really well in that environment. The problem is that he doesn't release any of his source. He doesn't you're at his mercy, and he's just not updated it. And it's many generations old Arch Linux. And so now they're writing to a platform that just can't support the calls and stuff like that. So that's probably the biggest problem, is the fact that they're trying to adapt something that's years out of date to work on an older and if people are only going to put so much effort into it, then they're just going to say the hell with it. Sooner they get us converted over to ASL3, the better. And then you're all that's a thing of the past.
Okay, I understand now. All right, very good. Did you get a hold of Jerry, or I haven't even looked. Does his website say when you'll be able to get ASL3 on a clear zero or even my 541?
No, I honestly didn't read up, you know, enough on it. I was too busy with other stuff, and I didn't really give that a real dig. I thought I heard Dave talking about it being coming soon, and I also saw they offer a service to where if you're updating your node to ASL 3.0 on your own and you booger it up, you know, they'll for a fee they'll come fix it. So that seems to indicate to me that there's a route to ASL 3 that they're not releasing yet, but people have been dabbling with. I don't know. I don't know the whole story. So, but I think it's in the works, but the sooner they get there, the better.
Yeah, well, when one of us gets hungry enough, we'll just dive in and figure it out. Personally, I have no need at all. Mine, everything works fantastically. I imagine I will do it sooner or later. Although, like in your case there, you actually have a need. And if I ever decided to go that little UPS route, I would have a need. So, we'll get it figured out sooner or later.
Yeah, that little UPS is quite slick, and it works really well. It gives several hours of runtime. I haven't even found out. I have no way of judging because I can't get the web UI to work, and there's no indicators on the you know, no hardware. There's an LED for charging, and there's an LED for on, and there's another LED, and they got very sparse documentation on the one that I got, but it leads me to believe that those LEDs, those two LEDs, are supposed to give some sort of an indication of capacity. I don't know, and but I've not seen any way to outwardly indicate, you know, how much capacity is left in the thing. So, you know, all you can do is just guess, you know, and wait till it just abruptly shuts down, make a note of it, and say, okay, it ran for 4 hours, so, you know, I know that I shouldn't have it offline for more than three before I got to start worrying. I don't know. But it is a UPS. It's not really a USB battery, per se. And, you know, it's designed to be plugged in. And, you know, and then you just pull it off, you know. So I'm just looking to see if I can get, like, let's say I can get, you know, 4 or 5 hours out of it. Then that's fine. Because, you know, at most I'll pull it off to do a little trip, you know. And but honestly, you can jump in the car and plug it in when you get in the car. Then when you get where you're going, you could plug it in and, you know, if all you need is for it to transition, you know, leave it on and let you transition from, you know, power source to power source, then I guess it really isn't, you know, isn't that big of a deal. Now, you know, of course, you can get a, like I got that other battery, that one I showed you, that 5,000 milliamp hour one. I just put it on that in the morning and not worry about it, you know. I had a 10,000 in good grief, and it's lasting a day and a half. So, you know, I think a 5,000 will be more than adequate for. But, you know, it's bulkier and bigger and all that good stuff. So I'm playing.
One moment. KE8 VSI. Sorry about that. Had a navigated turn out of the freeway. It's a pretty dark area. Wasn't seeing so good. And now I'm officially on the freeway, so all is well. Slick stuff there. The only thing, like you said, you don't really need to know if you use it as a UPS only, but the fact that it's there and it's a toy or a feature, you kind of want to use it. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I'd like to know how much I can get out of it, you know, so that, you know, if it give me 4 or 5 hours, now there'd almost be no circumstance where, you know, I'd have any problems with it. You know, that would cover just about any road trip you could possibly make. And even then, you could plug it in. But,
you know, it, well, it wouldn't quite get you through a work day. It'd just be nice to know. You know, is it enough to get you through a work day where I could just, you know, pull it off the battery at home and then flop it on the seat of the car? But, you know, but again, since you can just jack it in the cigarette lighter plug, it ain't that big a deal. But it'd be nice to know. So, there's a way to get the UI working on Arch Linux. It's just, if you have anything but Arch Linux, you can just basically run a command and, you know, it'll automatically set it up. You know, but because it is Arch Linux, you got to download this package and you got to install it, and then there's all these dependencies, and you know, and it's not automated, so it's going to take some reading, and then you got to enable the I2C bus, and you got to be service nothing, you know, using that from the manufacturer, from the actual ClearNote guy. I don't think he's using any I2C stuff, so but you know, I got to make sure. So that could be a real problem. So, and it's going to take enough of my attention that I threw it aside and said, I'll come back to this.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that would probably be something I might take a stab at, but I would want to do it when I'm really in the mood for it. It's just a long procedure with all the checks and balances, so, oh, well. You'll probably have ASL3 before you ever get in the mood to do that, or that's probably what will be my case anyway. Next question. I saw your Facebook post, and I know you had your garage torn down. Did you ever get anybody to build one for you?
I got two places I've been designing, you know, what I want, and I kind of meant today to kind of go find out, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Do I go get the, I got to find out, I got to make absolutely sure. I got to get somebody with some knowledge to come out and check out my pad. You know, the more I think, you know, as much as I want to reuse my pad, you know, because it's an extra cost expense, a big expense that I don't need to spend, I don't want to go through all this and find out I should have put in a new pad. So you know, so I kind of got to figure out, you know, I got to get somebody to come out and evaluate that pad, make sure it's fine. I mean, it looks fine. It was fine, you know, for all the years I was running it, so I don't see why it wouldn't be, but I'm getting cold feet. I want to get somebody to come in and kind of give me a rundown. And I also want to get in there, and I want to dig down the side and find out whether I got foundation or rat wall, because it makes a difference in how big I can go. I can go up to 24. I can go up to 500 square, I think it is, which is, you know, 24 by 24 just fits in there. You know, what is that, 475? And I can get exactly what I had on that slab with a rat wall. If I want to go, what I ultimately want to do is I want to go 24 by 36, you know, go an extra 12 foot out the back, and that's going to require that I pour an additional pad, you know. But if I do it all at once, I'm going to have to, now I got it goes from having a rat wall to having a foundation. And so I don't want to go through all that. So I got a few questions I got to get answered. But I got the plans all drawn up. I know exactly when I get one of two things. It's either going to be a 24 by 24. I've got designed 10-foot sidewalls, regular style gable roof, one side door, one big 16-foot roll up. And, you know, that's it. And then if I go to the 36, the back 12 is going to be completely separated, you know, by the back wall. And that's going to have a separate, you know, roll up, 8-foot roll up into the property. So, I got all the plans all drawn up. I know exactly what I want to do. Two different companies there. It's like 6-1, half dozen the other. I've decided to go steel. So really it's just a matter of figuring out what I'm going to do with that slab/foundation, and then ordering up the plans so I can take them down to the city and say, here's what I'm building, get the permit.
All right, cool. Yeah, so you got as far as you're going to get until you get that slab looked at. Man, I you would think that would be okay. Like you said, it looks good and whatnot, but you're right. It wouldn't hurt to have it looked at by somebody that's going to build on it or knows more about it than you do. I guess I can't blame you for that. And it's a one-time deal. You're doing a big, huge project. I'm going to put my vote for adding the 12 feet. Because you do like a workbench area or more storage, or, you know, ever, who doesn't. But either way, I'm sure it'll be nice when you finally get it done.
Well, the idea there is, you know, that extra 12 by 36 will be where I'll put all the, you know, seasonal stuff, lawn and garden. I've got two tractors, you know, so one of the tractors will go in there. And I'll be able to put, you know, I'll put in, you know, all the seasonal, like the mowing decks in the winter, I'll be able to take off and store. And in the summer, I'll be able to store the blower and the plow, you know, and all that stuff. So, you know, that'll just allow me a place to store all that seasonal stuff and the lawn and garden stuff and not have to waste any of that garage, which I want to be more of a, you know, a garage and a workshop. So that'll be, you know, that'll be nice to have that extra. But, you know, the way it's going to go is I'm either going to do it all right up front if I don't have to, you know, if my slab is good, but it has a rat wall, not a foundation, and they're going to make me, I don't know, if tear it up, or they're going to make me, you know, I don't know, I got to find out. And then, but if I could put up a 24 by 24, but not a 36 by 24, then I'll put up the 24 by 24. I've already talked to the company that makes the garages, and they can come out and put the extra 12 foot on the back next week, you know, I mean, you know, and so I'm kind of thinking I'll do what I can with the existing structure I've got, and then later I'll just add on to it, and you know, so get around it that way. It seems silly I have to do that, but you can do that.
All right. Well, that's another good option too. Was it a standard two-car garage? You know, from the beginning. My point being, which maybe when I get it a little taller. Is that a thought or an option or anything like that?
It was 24 by 24 with a hip roof and 8-foot walls. And I'm going to go 24 by 24 with a gabled roof, no trusses, and 10-foot walls. So I am going to go up a couple, but I don't want to go much more than that. You know, unless I'm going to put in a loft and the city doesn't allow that, I think you can go 10 without special consideration. So it looks like it's going to be 24 by 24, but I'm going to go 10 with a trussless gabled roof, and then that'll give me 12, 13 foot in the center. So if I want to, like, at a later date, get a little hoist or something like that, you know, I could get a car up pretty good in there.
Oh, all right, very good, from 8 to 12, and yeah, all right, and that was, you answered my next question, if you considered a hip roof, but you had one, and you already know what you want to do there, so all right, cool biz. So the garage project continues.
Yeah, I got most of the what-ifs and the analysis-paralysis out of the way. I'm pretty much right now I'm just down to the slab is going to dictate whether I'm going to do a 24 by 24 and come back to the extra 12 later, or if I'm going to consider doing the whole thing now. If I'm going to do the whole thing now, I got to actually pour the 12 by 36. I do got a pad off the back, but it's not buildable. I'm going to have to have that poured, so I'm going to have to get 12 by 24. Poured if I go that. So I'm almost thinking I'm just going to do the 24 by 24. It's the best, fastest, you know, and then I can come back to the 12 by 36 part afterwards, you know, later in the spring or something like that.
Yeah, something to be said for get her done, which now that you just mentioned that, brings me to the next question. Where's all your stuff?
I've got, my basement is just packed, you can't even move in it, with the stuff that, you know, is basementable. Then there's big stuff that I've got. I bought one of those 10 by 20 car tents, and I got that set up out back, which is, you know, that stuff's there, tractors and things like that, some other various things, and you know, and then just a lot I just, you know, I'm a pack rat, so a lot of it was just junk I got rid of. There was some stuff I was pretty sad over, some stuff I just kind of went, you know, oops, I forgot about that, and that's ruined.
Oh, all right, I get it. Very good. That's actually not a bad idea. All right, cool. There's not much going on in my project world. I got a guy coming out to do the leaves in the backyard, bag them up and get them out of there. That's just too much work for me. And then, you know, I got to shut off my spigots and take the umbrella down off the patio and all that, you know. I guess I've had a few days I could have done it, but I'm... what I have to do will literally only take me a half an hour. I got to drain and bring in my hose, too.
Yeah, I got that, too. Now that the leaves are all coming down, I got to get somebody to come in. I got several grand worth of work I got to have done. I got a big tree that I got to bring down, and that's going to be the bulk of it. And then while they're doing that, I got a bunch of brush and debris and everything. I'm going to have somebody come in and clean up, so... I got that project as well sitting there, so money.
Oh, didn't realize you had that on the plate too. Yeah, that's a lot going on. I did all that a year or two ago. Like, yeah, insane amounts of money on getting trees out of there and new lawn and all that crap. I'm glad I did it. It was overdue and needed it and all that, but wow, that was a big chunk. But it's done. You're going to do that alongside getting a new garage. That's going to be real nice when you're done.
Yeah, I just got to get all that stuff done so I can get my mind off, you know, and then I can focus on, because I want to retire, you know, sooner rather than later. And, you know, getting that stuff out of the way will allow me to focus on the house, because we got to make significant changes here. We either have to... you know, we either have to add on or we have to, you know, do some serious changes to the layout here. We got to do something. I even thought about, you know, bringing in a modular or something like that. But I got, you know, that whole, I don't even want to start thinking about that right now. Once I get this other stuff off my plate and done, and of course having the garage will give me a place to move, you know, stuff out of here so I can focus on stuff here. And, but we've got to make some changes, you know, here. If nothing else, we've got to make better use of the space going into retirement. Probably what we'll end up doing. It's a small place. There's not a lot of, you know, floor space here. That's why the garage is so paramount to all this, because I'll be able to, you know, I do got a basement, a full basement, so I'll be able to get that recovered, you know, get the crap out of here, and then that'll give me the ability to start taking a look at what I'm going to do here. But I don't know. I'm even thinking addition and, you know, and renovation. I don't know. I don't even want to go there right now. It's just got enough on my plate.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. That's a whole other rabbit hole for sure. And I get you don't want to go there. But I do have one question about it. Did you want to have all that done before you retire, or you want to do that after you retire?
Yeah, I kind of like to investigate it. I'd like to figure it out before I retire. You know, it's a catch 22 because, you know, I got enough money socked away. You know, I could pay for everything, you know, cash if I do it after I retire. But if I wait till before, I got to do something. But I'm in a position to do, you know, financing. Creative financing, so a lot's going to have to do with the money and stuff like that, how I want to move my money around and stuff, you know, whether I want to, you know, buy now, pay later, you know, that's going to all have to do with, you know, timing, retirement, funds that are available to me, you know, with and without, you know, there's penalties or anything like that. I shouldn't have any penalties at this point, but there's a tax, you know, a tax angle to consider, so... And then, you know, if I need, you know, if I want to do, you know, if I want to borrow, you know, I'll be on the, you know, first, and then, you know, and then it'll depend on rates, you know, there's just a lot to, but I got to get done with this other stuff so that I can figure out just what's the size of this endeavor, what are we talking about, you know, and then I can, you know, then I can make a better decision just what route I want to go to get it accomplished.
Alright, I understand completely. Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole or puzzle you got to put together. I was just, my question was more aimed at, do you want to want it done before or after, but that's really, it doesn't matter to you. It's just a matter of what's going to be the best plan, so I gotcha.
You know, right now, you know, I can, you know, being gainfully, fully gainfully employed with, significant income, and credit score, I can, you know, pretty much walk in and I got a lot of options for cheap money, there's no cheap money right now, but I'm in a better position for options financially right now working. When I'm not working, my options become a little different, you know, so that's what I mean. So, yeah, I think I'd rather do it before I retire, because I'm just in a much stronger position to work out the sweetest deal for me.
Understood, or even secure the loan while you're working, you know, that kind of thing, but, yep, I get it, all right, very good, just, you got a lot of fun, big, fun projects, so, yeah. Anyway, moving right along, I don't even know where I'm at, I'm in the D, let me take a look at the next sign here, the receive has been really good the whole time, I haven't run into any issues. I'm assuming my transmit has been all right. I'm 94 and Van Dyke's coming up in 3/4 of a mile, so you know where I'm at. So I'm back crashing.
Yeah, there's a little popcorn in there, but you should be able to carry this one just about out to the airport. It will get a little dicey, you know, when you get out there to the airport, you know. So somewhere along that path, you know, Dearborn, you know, and beyond, you'll be depending on what you're running. You know, what kind of antenna and all that stuff. You know, look for Dearborn to be the beginning of the end. But you can run it pretty much all the way out to the airport. You know, it just depends. Now, on the other hand, if you switch over to the ZA stuff, you just switch over to Detroit and you run that. You know, that one gets kind of a little touchy out that way, too.
I'm not familiar with that one. What is the ZA that goes?
GMRS. That's the ZA service.
Oh, yeah. I didn't put together. I thought you were going with a call sign or something, the end of a call sign. But, all right. Yeah, that's true, that one. The Detroit one. Okay, I gotcha. Very good.
I'm not sure how much better it'll be. It should be, by all right. I mean, right now it'll be, you know, you'll be hammering it. You're right underneath it. But, you know, if you get out toward the airport, I've noticed that it gets a little persnickety too. It doesn't seem to work much better than the 2.6. Now, one that really does scream, the perfect one for that is the 2.1, the PLW 2.1 repeater. That thing, you know, it covers that whole run you're doing all the way out to the airport. Beautifully. Very, very nice coverage machine.
Yeah, when I was delivering, I would talk to Professor Don on that 2-to-1 all the time, and that thing was amazing. I mean, anywhere. It's definitely a good repeater, for sure.
Yep, great location, lots of elevation, and people that know what they're doing. You put those three things together, and you can't lose. So good deal. And anywho, well, you are going to be if you're already the grass. Well, you're probably still not through downtown, are you? You're probably not going to run any problems. 8:45. I think they're just getting cooking down there. They've got some acts coming on stage. I think Bon Jovi's going to be down there, so you can go down there and rock out to Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that's hilarious how they're getting these names to go and do that and endorse and all that. I don't get it myself. I'm not into all that rhetoric on it, but it's kind of funny. Just got past I-75 and no traffic issues at all. Got a couple people flying by me at super high speed. It's kind of crazy, but nope, I think I'm going to be good as far as that's concerned. Maybe something on the way back, but it'll kind of be opposite.
What time is she expected in?
Flight lands at 9:20. I'm not sure if she's checking a bag or not. And I looked at that same flight recently. It usually gets in 10 minutes early. So my best guess is I'll be rolling back out by 9:30, 9:45.
Yeah. Well, you know, coming through that way, you could get, when it's letting out, you could get a little traffic for that. I don't think it'll be bad. I don't think it's, you know, it's just a concert at Hart Plaza. Not that big a deal. When you got Red Wings.
Oh, they're playing at home tonight, too. Okay, good to know that. Yeah, in either case, once I get past 75, if there's Red Wing traffic, that usually breaks up after that. Nothing I can't handle.
Hey, you know, honestly, I don't know where they are. Let's see, final. 8 o'clock, they're not playing tonight. I thought they were. Here they are, final October 30th, final November 2nd, and then it says the next game is November 6th. So they're not playing. So, okay, you don't got to worry about them.
All right, very good. I'm at West Grand Boulevard now, and I'm just starting to get some bacon fry on the receipt.
Looks like the Pistons are playing. But I have no idea how to tell whether they're home or away. So, well.
Wow. The Pistons are playing. That's just, I have so lack of interest in that right now. I don't even know what basketball season is, but okay. And where are they playing these days?
Oh, they're at Little Caesars Arena, so the Pistons are playing. They've got 9 minutes in the third quarter. So that could be letting out. I don't know what kind of crowds they're drawing, but you got that you could contend with coming back through. You'll be fine.
Yep, I sure will. All right, well, let's get back to whatever you're getting to. I'm sure I'm getting a little funky now because the ring is getting funkier. And I appreciate the chat. And maybe I'll, depending on how chatty the wife is, I might chime in on the way home. I might not.
Well, I understand if you do or if you do not. So, no problem. All right. You're getting a little popcorn-y but solid. And, I got some stuff I do have to take care of here. So, wanted to drive with you for a while anyhow. Keep you company. All right, have fun. Drive safe. WFU.
Yo,
good evening. 21 hours. Cloudy. 64 degrees. Good evening. 22 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees. Good evening. 23 hours. Cloudy. 65 degrees.